Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, Foo followers. Ben Johnson here, the host of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast, reminding you that if you would like to support this show, we have a donations link available. Any spare pennies you may have would be greatly received to help with the upkeep of this show, the website, the social media accounts, and so on. Simply head over to paypal.me/Kung Fu Movie Guide to donate whatever you can. And a huge thank you to any listeners who have supported us over the years. You have our gratitude. Okay, thank you, and on with the show.
Well, if you're really so determined to have a fight, then I'll oblige.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Foo followers everywhere around the world. Welcome back to the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast with your host, Ben Johnson, speaking to you from London here in the UK. I do hope you are keeping well wherever you are listening to this. This is the first episode in season 7 of this podcast, episode 80. Jonathan Eusebio is my guest today, also known by his nickname Jojo. Jonathan Eusebio is the acclaimed Hollywood stunt coordinator and fight choreographer responsible for the action in the Bourne films, the John Wick series. He's done a lot of Marvel things over the years. He created the fighting style for Black Widow, also Doctor Strange, Black Panther. He's worked on films like The Expendables, Haywire, Deadpool 2, Birds of Prey, Kate. There's so many great movies that Jonathan Eusebio has been involved in. He's one of the original 8711 stunt crew, trained with both Dave Leitch and Chad Stahelski at the Inner Santo Academy, and also followed them into the movies. So he goes way back with those guys. His recent credits include The Matrix Resurrections, that's the fourth film in the Matrix series, and the Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars show, which is out now on Disney Plus. We talk about both of those shows quite a bit on this episode. The conversation you are about to hear was recorded in July of this year, 2022, and it was an absolute treat to chat with Jojo. He's someone that I wanted to speak to for this show for quite a long time now, and it was great to finally get to spend some time with him. So that's coming up on today's show. Thank you, Foo followers, for your patience. You may have noticed that I took some time away from the show at the start of this year, 2022. Thank you to all the listeners who messaged me, sent me emails asking after the show and asking when it would return. It is always nice to be missed in a way, so thank you so much for sending me your kind messages. If you do like this show, then you will be pleased to learn that the show is now back for another season. This is season 7, which is quite hard to believe, but I will be dropping new episodes every 2 weeks on a Monday starting from today, 3rd of October 2022. And I've been recording quite a few conversations over the summer in the last few weeks and months, so because of that we've got quite a few stored up now, so we should have enough to see you guys through to the end of this year and even into January, maybe February next year as well. So lots of cool stuff coming up for fans of martial arts movies all over the world. The best way, of course, to make sure that you never miss a brand new episode of the Kung Fu Movie Guide podcast is to follow the show via your podcast provider. And while you're at it, please do leave us a star rating and maybe even write a review. If that's not too much trouble, that would also be great. Head over to our website, kungfumovieguide.com, to read the latest martial arts movie reviews. And that is also where you can subscribe to our monthly newsletter. We do give away lots of free stuff in that newsletter every month, so it's definitely worth your while to get on the mailing list. And if you want to contact the show, we are on social media. We're on Twitter at KF Movie Guide. We are on Instagram and Facebook at Kung Fu Movie Guide. And you can also send me an email. The email address is hello at kungfumovieguide.com. Okay, that's enough from me. I will be back at the end of this conversation to waffle on a little bit more, but until then, please do sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with the legendary fight choreographer and stunt coordinator, Jonathan Eusebio. I always see your name on credits and I always know, you know, it's sort of a seal of approval. I always think if, you know, this, at least I know the action's going to be really good in this. So what are you working on at the moment? Can you actually say?
Well, trying to make that foray into directing. So I've been, I'm trying to develop like a couple things at once. So, yeah. You know, I'm just waiting to see back on certain things. So right now it's just kind of developing time. Right, I just got back from a show right after Obi-Wan. I went to a Universal Pictures movie called Violent Night, which is basically Die Hard with Santa Claus.
Yeah,
but it's pretty violent. But it's violent.
Yes.
Right. I think that'll be a fun one.
So Jojo, you're going to make that leap then into directing. Then that's the goal.
I'm trying to. That's the goal. I'm trying. You know, I have good mentors. I mean, I'm following a good. You know, I'm following like Chad, Dave, JJ,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, all those guys into the next level. You know, it's definitely not easy. You're starting over again, basically. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, all these years as being like a fight coordinator, stunt coordinator, like kind of second director, that should help me. I mean, I know I could tell a story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you think that the door's a lot more open now to stunt coordinators, second unit, and then making that step into directing, I guess, following the success of John Wick and Chad and Dave have really sort of set the groundwork there, haven't they? But do you notice just within Hollywood, within the industry there, that people are, you know, treating the stunt community as slightly differently, taking it a bit more seriously, do you think?
Well, I think it's definitely people are more receptive
to,
you know, stunt people directing kind of action movies and things like that, because that's our forte. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, Hal Needham done it before. You know, we had huge second unit, you know, directors like Simon Crane and Dan Bradley, and we're just kind of following their lead. But I think because of the success of the John Wick series, like Atomic Blonde, you know, Extraction, you know, from Sam Hargrave, I think Hollywood is very open to letting stunt coordinators or become the main storytellers.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. You want those guys to succeed. I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm fascinated by 8711. I'd love to know how it sort of operates. If you could explain that to me, Jojo. So do you, when a movie comes in, is it like, do you divide it up and say, no, Lana will do that one, or John Valera is going to do that, or we'll give that to Jojo? I mean, how does it sort of work?
I think they do like producers of them do call, you know, 87 or 87 North, which is Dave's chapter of 87, you know?
Yeah.
And they kind of ask, if they can do the job. And yes, they try to divvy it out as best they can.
Yeah.
But I think nowadays, a lot of the OG guys, the original guys, we get called on our own. So, you know, sometimes they specifically ask for a specific person or things like that. But anything that Chad or Dave can't do, they tend to, find the right guy they think will do it,
yeah.
You know, preferably on the team. But I think now the original guys like me, Valera, Danny Hernandez, even Jackson Spidell, those guys we get asked for personally now.
Yeah, I guess because you've sort of made your mark, particularly around doing a very sort of more grounded, realistic style of action. Do you find yourself, you get a lot of offers to do, can you just sort of do what you did on John Wick? Do you get sort of a lot of that comes in? And is that also why you've, because I know the last few projects, you've sort of mixed it up quite a bit on the fantasy, sci-fi side of things as well.
Well, I made it, like if you look at my resume, I made it a good point early in my career to kind of do a lot of different things. So I started out doing Marvel stuff, and then I'll go back and do the grounded stuff. Then I'll do some like kind of medieval stuff. Or I try to mix up as much as I can because I feel like for me, as a stunt, like, you know, again, as a fight coordinator, stunt coordinator, we always try to do everything, like do different things all the time. That's the luxury of doing features, because you can do something new, like, you know, every project.
Yeah.
And like, to keep me creative, I kind of do as much as I can that's different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And I think that applies to just in martial art training. Like when we grew up, we kind of did all these different martial arts, like me, Chad, and Damon Caro, the original kind of the owners of 87. We all trained in the same stuff, but we trained in a lot of different martial arts.
Yeah.
So I think for movies, it applies, because we can kind of know a little general thing about this and then kind of make it work, right? Yeah.
But how do you keep on top of that as well, Jojo? How do you stay fresh?
It's hard. It's because when you work a lot, you get in a kind of a groove.
Yeah.
But I personally, a lot of us, we all still train.
Yeah.
Like I know Stahelski trains all the time. Dave trains all the time. I train all the time. So anytime I'm not on set, like we're usually training. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a life thing. That's like a lifestyle to us.
Do you refer to old movies, or are you keeping on top of obviously the new stuff that's coming out? And do you still find inspiration in
that? Yeah, I grew up watching all the old Shaw Brothers, old Golden Harvest stuff. I mean, I grew up on that stuff.
Yeah.
So when, you know, guys in the U.S. grew up on Van Damme and like Chuck Norris and stuff, I grew up on like Yung Biao, Sammo, Jackie Chan, you know, like old school Hong Kong style stuff. Sometimes I watch the old stuff, and you see new things. It's a cycle. Sometimes you got to bring back the old to get the new stuff. And I don't think anything's fully original. I think it's always inspired by something that came before it.
Yeah.
So you can have your take on it, but there's things that happened before. It's just like, you know, same thing. Like Jackie and them used to watch like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin stuff, and I watch those things. Those guys are amazing stunt guys. If you watch Buster Keaton, I mean, those are like real stunts.
Yeah,
that's crazy. There's no tricks there.
Yeah,
you know. So, you know, whatever inspires you. I always say, as a choreographer or anything, it's just like whatever inspires you to be creative. Watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people listen to music, inspire. Some people read books. Like I used to read comic books too. So, like my inspiration used to come from like comics and old martial art movies. That was my thing.
That's a nice segue into Obi-Wan Kenobi, because you're dealing with not only Obi-Wan, but you're bringing back Darth Vader here, and it's full on.
Yeah.
It's lightsabers, you know, it's the Force, it's all kicking off. Now, how did you feel stepping into that realm? Because that is slightly different for you, isn't it? Move into that.
Well, it's not like it's slightly different, because for me, action scenes are action scenes.
Yeah, sure.
Going into like Obi-Wan Kenobi, I mean, like all of us grew up on it. So I grew up on the original trilogy, right? So my concept of when I see like lightsaber battles and things like that were more based off Japanese style.
Yeah.
Like fighting, right? The fencing or sword fighting school, swordsmanship. And then the kids growing up now, they grew up on the prequels, which the fighting is a mix of like wushu elements with like, and it does have some Hema stuff in it. I say that's more the newer sequels, but you know, if you watch the prequels, they're more like a lot of wushu movement bases in there. Like you can see it. You can see all the flourishes. Like,
well, Ray Park.
All flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I think the hard part for us is we have to make the bridge. Like, how do they fight like this in Revenge of the Sith and they end up like this in New Hope?
Yeah.
So I have the in between. So I can't make them, when we're doing the stuff, and this is a credit to our director, Deborah Chow, too. She's very in tune with that stuff. But, you know, I have to see how those guys fought in number three, because that's like one of the most iconic fights ever in the Star Wars thing, right? So you got to see how they fight there, because they won't move that much different from, you know, when you get to the in-between.
Yeah.
And then they have to fight completely different when they get to New Hope, right?
Yeah.
So I had to kind of like get that and then mix that style with whatever I'm making and then make sure it kind of bridges into the original trilogy stuff.
Yeah.
And I think we did it. And we did it character wise too, because if you look at the story, it's more like Obi-Wan has lost his faith in the Force, right? And when he lost his faith in the Force, just mentally, spiritually, even physically.
Yeah.
So so you have to see him kind of get that confidence back. And then somehow that mindset changes him because he's not the same Obi-Wan he was 10 years ago. Yep. So even physically, the way he fights has to be different from the way he fought 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have to see. And so for us, it's like, it's obvious. Like, Star Wars fans are very picky. They know their stuff. So, you know, when you're looking at him do his, like, his kind of Obi-Wan stance, his Form 3 stance, I think it is, you know, when he's kind of doing this.
Yeah.
Which to me looks like it's a Chinese broadsword,
yeah.
You know, a straight sword stance. But anyways, and then you have to get him into this kind of the normal kind of Seigan no Kami Japanese stance, which Obi-Wan, like the Alec Guinness Obi-Wan use, right?
Yeah.
So you know, you just have to, in the characters, like, as soon as he figures out he's not kind of that young guy and he's not being like offensive minded anymore, then he goes to this style of stance.
Yeah.
It's real subtle.
Yeah.
But like for me, I see it and I feel it, right? So that's what we tried to do. And I think it came across pretty well.
And you must have been excited just to be involved in that project and seeing, especially when they must have, you know, the Vader costumes on, mm-hmm. and they're doing the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That must have been cool.
Oh, no, that was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, gosh, I don't know, like, I remember, it's like, if I did any Star Wars, I would want to do like a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. And I know they were thinking about doing that first. And then I remember 2 years ago, I got called to do an interview for Mandalorian, the first season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember I couldn't do it because I was on John Wick 3, I think.
Yeah.
And I was kind of bummed out because I was like, oh my God, I want to be, you know, to work on a Star Wars project.
Yeah.
And then this came along years later. So, you know, I just kind of, good things happen to those who wait, I guess.
Your second unit on it as well, Jojo. So, you know, it's a huge amount of responsibility, a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel like you were under pressure a bit with that? It's a huge, because Star Wars is, it's huge.
No, it was a lot of pressure. I mean, I took it more personally because you're so emotionally invested in it,
yeah.
because you grew up on it and you don't want to mess it up, because if you mess it up, you're going to hear it from everybody.
Oh, and they right? are the so, most, like, online,
oh, yeah.
you just do not want to.
yes.
yeah.
Yes. I mean, you want to fan service everyone, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to fan service, but then they don't realize, too, when you're on set, all these different factors are involved. Sometimes you don't have the time. Sometimes you don't have the budget.
Of course.
But you have to make sure, you got to keep everyone kind of happy. So, yeah, that's the most nerve-wracking. But I think me and my team, per se, like my stunt team and my rigging team, like, all of us are huge fans, so a lot of us were just under the pressure to do it well.
Yeah.
And you have two actors like Ewan McGregor and Hayden, like those guys can still move.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it, like, I don't really have to, we train them and they trained hard, but I mean, they didn't have to start from scratch. That's like the best part of it, so that's why the stuff looks so great. I mean, you can see it on screen. It's
yeah,
just them.
Absolutely. And
right?
were they,
yeah, yeah.
they must have been excited too, because it's been so mm-hmm. long since they've, you know, played
yeah.
those characters.
Mm-hmm.
So they must have been mm-hmm. thrilled to, you know, play those characters.
Oh, yeah, they
again.
Jumped on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course.
They loved it. I think it's the same thing. It's like, you know, there. It's, oh, gosh, when was those prequels? 20 years ago
yeah,
or whatever?
Late 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, late 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think when you're doing it, you know, now that it survives so much in the fans' eyes and stuff like that, that they have a new appreciation for it because people still love it.
If you're doing a Star Wars show or something that's a bit more PG-13 family friendly,
mm-hmm.
but you still need to create action and fight scenes that have an edge, that have an impact,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't do, you know, like Kate or like the knife fight in there.
Yeah,
you can't, you know, you can't do that in a Star Wars show.
Yeah.
So you're conscious, you're aware of that. Is that quite a challenge to try and?
It is.
Yeah.
I think it is a that's like usually a challenge, but I think we always choreograph. So you use the word over choreograph, but we tend to make it as big as we can get it.
Yeah.
And then it's easier for us to shape things down. So let's say I do something super violent. It's like, okay, we stab a guy through the neck. He's like, okay, maybe instead of this, like, you switch the hit to the hilt and you hit him in the neck as opposed to stab. Like, so I always don't like to be held, like, you know, the limitations there. So I'll still choreograph the way I choreograph. And then according to kind of the rules or whatever, then I'll take things out and trim them. But it's easier to trim than take it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Easier to take it out than build it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Because you don't want to mess up the, like, for me, choreography is about, like, flow. So if you're building something and then you have to put something in, it changes the tempo. But if you have it then you can modularize it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's easier to move around or change.
Yeah.
Without changing the rhythm. That's important.
Yeah, yeah. But naturally, your natural instinct is to go for the more violent stuff, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, I grew up doing more the practical martial arts, I would say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you grew up doing those kind of things. So it's more for self-defense. So you're trying to do things to immobilize or incapacitate whoever's attacking you, right?
Not bad. Not bad.
I've got to talk a little bit about Matrix Resurrections as well.
Yes.
You worked on that movie. Again, different kind of pressure because you're sort of taking over, you're stepping into Chad's territory.
Yes.
There very much.
Yeah. That's the pressure I felt. I mean,
yeah.
I just got back from a show and Chad's like, all right, he just basically blindsided me. I go in this, he goes, just come to 87 in the morning. So I went there, basically Lana Wachowski and Warner Brothers and stuff like that. Executives are there. And they go, okay, here's the guy that's going to do it. So I just kind of like, what? Right? So,
he didn't tell you. He didn't warn you.
He didn't tell me.
Yeah.
He kind of mentioned it, but I didn't know they're going to be there that day. Anyway, so I was like, oh, right? And then, like, so for me, the pressure was immense because it's like, I can't mess up what they did. Plus, it's Wu Ping.
Yeah.
You know, but the hardest part too is, for me was, I grew up on that too, right? So
yeah.
That's like our generation's version of Star Wars. So I grew up watching that. I knew Chad was in it, so I was all into it because my trainer was in it. And Dave Leach was in it too.
Yeah.
Right? He was like the Smith. So when I'm watching all that stuff, it's like, I was expecting it to be like those ones, but you have to realize that Lana has evolved as a filmmaker. So her way of doing the stuff is not even like, it's not the same as she did when she did the originals.
Yeah.
So,
well, they didn't she directed Second Unit on that, didn't she? Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess
she did everything.
Yeah. And I guess in the original trilogy, you had Wu Ping and the Hong Kong team were, I guess, dealing mm-hmm. with a lot of that and doing the previous.
Yeah.
So do you, what's your thoughts on it, Jojo?
I mean, it's hard to say because, It was a hard shoot because we did that during the first lockdown. So, you know, we had a whole way of doing things every day. We couldn't do certain things because we had to be in different zones. We're in masks. We're getting tested all the time. People were getting, like, it was just a crazy time to shoot.
Yeah.
And I think that chaos, you know, I think it might have helped stop it from becoming a film that it could have been.
Yeah.
I always feel.
Yeah. Okay.
Experience wise, I had a good experience. It was rough. It was just a hard shoot.
Yeah.
And I think, and the expectations behind it. I mean, we work with Reeves. So Reeves is already used to us. Those guys trained hard. I'm not joking. Like Reeves and Carrie,
Jess, right? Jess
they,
was
they,
great.
Yeah, and then Jessica,
yeah.
They trained Jessica and Yaya.
Yeah.
They,
Yaya.
They all
great.
Trained. Those guys all trained super hard.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy. And, you know, so I'm proud of them for what they did. Like, I think some of the stuff that we did was left, like, the really crazy, like, the stuff I saw that was on the editing floor.
Yeah.
That I thought was super amazing. Yeah. But, again, you know, that's not my job. My job, I'm not the director. That's not it's Lana's vision.
Of course.
So,
yeah.
I think as long as she got the story that she wanted to tell, but... Yes, there's some things being selfish as a stunt coordinator or whatever that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the funny part is near the end of it, like I got sent the suit from Lucasfilms, the Darth Vader suit, to just kind of do a movement test on it because they basically sent me, like, this is why we're doing Matrix, like near the end of it. So most of the action was done, but on the weekends I would go in and do these tests on the suit. Because we had to try to make it more mobile without you can't change the look of the suit.
No.
That's the hard part. So there's a couple reasons why Darth Vader only fights with one hand. It's not just because he's character wise, like that's his style. Or if they're not a challenge to him, he'll only use one hand. It's because of the mobility of the suit.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff we were playing around with, I mean, I didn't get to really use on Matrix. So I think a lot of the inspiration from that. That's what you saw in that episode of Fight Fight with Vader, just kind of using the Force. Yeah. That's kind of like everyone said, oh, it has a Matrix vibe. But it's funny because when they say that, we did do it near the like kind of tail end of shooting a Matrix, right? Yeah. So that was kind of in our system.
Yeah.
And it kind of fit. It fit perfectly, though.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Whatever that story point was. So,
and I guess in those situations, if what you've created ends up on the cutting room floor, I mean, it's all good stuff you can reuse or readapt in later projects.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's normal. I mean, like when I used to work for Chad, under Chad a lot, I mean, he'd make us over choreograph. So I would do 100 ideas and he'd shoot down 99 of them.
Yeah.
And then I go, and then my whole thing, I'd be frustrated. He goes, well, you got 99 things you can use somewhere else. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that info kind of stockpiles.
Inspector, your swordplay has much improved.
Has it? Your spear skill is better too.
You started martial arts when you were super young, but you were like...
Yeah, I started when I was eight. I did Taekwondo.
Yeah.
I started Taekwondo when I was eight.
Yeah.
And then as I got in high school, you know, I wrestled a little and I did judo a little bit. And then I did that. So it's like you're doing... It's weird because you're kind of doing MMA before it's MMA. It's like I did kicking, punching. Then I go, oh, I should learn how to wrestle because just in case. So I did wrestling because of that. Then I did judo in off seasons, right? That was our thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I was 18, I went to Inosano Academy, Dan Inosanto's place. And that's where, Chad and Damon, Caro and Dave Leach, they were instructors over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I was kind of the generation underneath them.
When you were growing up, were you thinking martial arts for self-defense or competitions? Were you competing? Was it more of a sport thing for you? Or was it a sort of mix of both, would you say?
It was a mix of both. Yeah. I think I did it more for, because I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it. I wouldn't say I was doing it for self-defense. I didn't think of it as self-defense. Yeah. I just thought I took it because I liked it. I enjoyed it. And then I watch all these movies and I want to be like those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But when I got in high school and you're going to wrestling tournaments and like judo tournaments on the weekends, it's like now you're applying what you're learning like to a sport. So now it's a sport to me. It's not even fighting to me. It's a sport.
Yeah.
And then when I got to Inosanto, I started competing a lot in like kickboxing and shooto and stuff like that, doing a lot of like those smokers and finding casinos and things like that. So, you know, I got used to the competition part of it because I always think is like, that's how you learn to be the most applicable to things. So I think because of that pressure, I was always used to kind of pressure like that, competition to help me for film. So I was already used to being under pressure.
Yeah.
And then just focus myself on like what I needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? But you never saw it as anything more than a hobby or anything. Cause you sort of, you did study pretty hard. You went to university, you studied sciences, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just did it. I did it as lifestyle. It was just a lifestyle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then, but I would go to martial art class more than I would go to college classes sometimes. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to drive pretty far. I used to drive, like, I would go to Inosano Academy, like, let's say almost every day in the mornings, right?
Yeah.
And then on Tuesday, Thursdays, I would go there at night. So like, you know, it's like a lot of driving for me at the time for, you know, the kid that doesn't really, is just going to school. But I did it because I loved it. I used to watch like Dave Leach and Chad and Damon, those guys, like even Jeff Amata, like they were doing stunts. And I used to practice with with Chad and Dave a lot on the weekends when they have all their stunt buddies who are like big coordinators now. So they used to train me to do, train and compete in kickboxing and stuff. So I would train with them. And then on the weekends they're doing like stunt training, like kicks and, trampoline.
This
and
is
stuff.
Early
and
I would just, 90s. Early 90s.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is like mid 1990s.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like 90, near 95, 96,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's not right. So they would be like kicking and stuff. I'm like, what is this? And I was still competing and stuff back then. And I would just do it. And then I just naturally kind of followed them into it. Yeah. I remember I sat one day and I was like, man, I want to do this, right? Because I was in college and I was watching all my buddies go to grad school or like dental school or optometry. Like they're just moving on from school. And I was the only one still working at a lab. And I was just like, I didn't really know what to do with myself. And I just remember one day, I just went to go, what do you guys do? Like, how do you guys get into this? And they kind of just gave me a list and I just kind of followed it.
Yeah.
And I just, and it, the funny part was, it was just doing the stuff I grew up doing. So it just felt like that's the stuff I was supposed to be doing.
Did you want to be like a lead star though, like an action star in front of the camera?
Ah, gosh, I mean, you know, when I was younger, I never thought like that.
Yeah.
I always thought like, I like to work the movies.
Yeah.
But I never go, I want to be the lead guy. I don't think that's my personality. But I would train all the time. I always wanted to be the guys that they fight.
Yeah.
Right? So
the guy doing like, the flip, so I, falling off
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah. I wanted to be the stunt guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Or the guys that get beat up. So.
Yeah. Did you know Brandon Lee out of interest? Was he around at the time? No.
He was there. Oh, gosh. I was there when he came back.
Yeah.
So I wasn't in any of his classes yet. I think he was in the more advanced stuff at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember I was like, I was all excited because that was why I watched Showdown in Little Tokyo and Rapid Fire.
Yeah.
And I was all excited. I go, he goes to our school, you know. And then I remember he passed away. So I was like, everyone was like super like distraught after that.
Yeah.
But it was a shame. I didn't get to meet him. But Chad had to finish The Crow. I remember Chad had to leave and finish The Crow for him. So, like, you know, those guys told me a lot about him, saying he trained hard, he was a good guy, good athlete and stuff. But it was quite a shame. I mean, you know, I was excited because I was getting to see your idol son who's doing his own thing. And I loved, like, Rapid Fire.
It's so good.
Over and over. I remember that.
Chad and Dave were there. They were teaching kickboxing them. They were your sort of
they're my instructors. They're like the older, they're like my seniors.
Yeah.
So I would say Chad was my main coach.
Yeah.
Because he was there. Him and David Carr were my main coaches. And then Chad was like kind of my kickboxing coach too. So when I compete, Chad was my corner guy training me kickboxing.
Yeah.
And then Dave Leach came in later because he came in from out of state. He was an out-of-state Inosano instructor.
Yeah.
But when he came in, him and Chad would always train together. So those guys would train me all the time.
Yeah.
So I got lucky. It's like I got trained by technically martial arts by two big-time action directors.
Yeah. Well, I always say this. Yeah. They're like running Hollywood now. So, right place, right time. Even at that young age, did they have that drive and that same determination, you know, that they've got to and the success they've had has been amazing. Mm-hmm. But I just wondered, you spotted that then definitely from an early age? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They already had it. Yeah. I mean, Chad and them, they're always doing like, they're always making drills and stuff. Like they're trying to be the best in what they can do. They're very organized even when they're doing martial arts.
Yeah.
So they're like making new drills, like to make things work, to be more advanced. They're like always writing down stuff, like, you know, the progressions we're doing.
Yeah.
So they already had that kind of, the mindset's already there. Like you can see that discipline and it translated over to film. I remember, I forgot. Was it? I think it was on John Wick 2 reshoots.
Yeah,
I remember. And I was with Chad in Montreal, and then like my office was like in this basement, and his office is on the main floor, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember I was like, I felt like I was in a prison. So I went up to his office, and I was like, he goes, "What are you doing?" I go, "It's like a board down there." He goes, "Just hang out in here." So I'm, you know, sitting on his desk, like his couch. And he's like on his computer. So I go around to see what he's watching. He's like watching martial arts stuff, like fight, when we're younger. Yeah. I was laughing. I was like, well, he's exactly the same still. Like, you know what I mean?
Because he would study, you know, those Jackie Chan films as well, wouldn't he? How they did it, how they filmed action.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a good story about him. It's like, because I used to watch like all the Shaw Brothers stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So like one time I forgot, I think we're on 300. And then he's like, I go, "Hey, yeah, come over to our room. It's like we're watching martial art movies on Saturday." He's like, "All right." He comes over, and I'm watching, like, me and my buddy, like, I think Danny Hernandez, we like to watch the whole thing,
yeah,
right, from the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always like, "Fast forward, just go to the fight, just watch the fights." And we're like, "No," and like, you know, for us, it's like the feeling, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the difference between, like, that was so funny because he just studies the fights, and then me and the other guys would always like to watch the whole thing.
What is this? Why bully are hung?
It wasn't our fault. He started it.
So True Vengeance, that's your first...
Oh, my God.
That's your first...
That's my first experience in film.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great movie.
Well, that that's a funny one because I remember Chad was coordinating that one, and he calls me and he goes, "Hey, you have any?" He goes, "You want to be in a movie?" I go, "Sure." And he goes, "Do you have any roommates?" I go, "Yeah, I got like five of them." He goes, "Are any of them Asian? That look Japanese?" I go, "Yeah, they're all kind of Japanese looking." He says, "All right, bring a few of them over." Like the next day, and this is like low budget. This was FM Entertainment, which is like kind of back then as like those direct to video
with Daniel Bernhardt. I think Daniel.
Yeah, with Bernhardt. Bernhardt was the star.
That's right.
Bernhardt was the star. That's right. That's to say, we knew Bernhardt because those guys used to do all his movies.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, I show up and it's like a Japanese garden in Van Nuys. So he's like, "Okay, you guys are gonna run down here, get shot, blah blah blah, like that." So we're like, "Oh, okay." And like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing. And I remember I had a fight like a week before, so I blew up my hamstring. So I couldn't jump off of it. I wrapped it up like I basically couldn't bend my leg, right?
Yeah.
So when I took the gunshot, I just jumped off always with my right leg, and my left leg stays straight. So if you watch, there's some parts where the guy jumps, it's like my left leg's almost straight.
Yeah.
Right. And then I guess I did okay. So they asked me to be in this other scene where like I think they we bust into the house and they start shooting it up, and then Bernhardt like goes over the couch and then he comes up and shoots me. And I did that too. So yeah, that was my first time doing it. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. I was like, "Ooh, this is nice extra money."
Yeah, it's like pocket
and
money.
I was, yeah, yeah. But I wasn't really going, "Oh, I want to be a stunt guy after that." Mm. I liked it. Like I did it. I was all into it. I remember I liked it, but I think at the time I was just like, "Oh, I got to finish school." I didn't even think about that stuff.
Yeah.
At the time. But it's just funny how you gravitate to what you're supposed to do.
Your sort of stunt career starts taking off then. But it's interesting because I was looking on your IMDb, but you did quite a few stunt jobs. You were in Kung Pao as well. That's
oh gosh, that, yes. I mean,
any fun memories of that one? Or
I mean, that one's my first job ever, so I had no
idea what
was going on. Yeah. There's one thing is, the guy's supposed to kick me in the face, and I'm doing a back three quarter. So the first couple ones, I'm hitting the ground perfect. But then I didn't realize you have to do it like sometimes you do it like 18, 19 times or whatever. So I started augering, going short, like almost landing on my noggin a lot, on my head a lot. So after that, I was like kind of like disappointed. And I go, "Man, I do it in the gym all the time." And I remember Chad going, "See, you got to practice." So after that, I realized it's like if you're going to do stuff, you got to be prepared to do it like, 20, 30 times. Like you got to have that in your head.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a reaction, or you got to do it over and over and over.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
So the first one, I guess, where you really got to shape the action and the approach to the action was the Bourne films. Is that right, mm-hmm. Jojo? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much to shape the fighting style of Jason Bourne as well?
Well, the funny part is, like, I remember Damien Caro. He goes, the American Stunt Coordinator wants to see, like, have a couple guys do a demo for a new movie. And he goes, "I can't do it, so why don't you and bring one of our other buddies from Academy along?" So I said, "Okay, I'll go down." I didn't know. I have no clue. This is like I'm literally still new. This is like my first year in the business.
Yeah.
And I go in this room, and it's like a empty kind of soundstage, and there's like a row of chairs. So I see kind of like executive, and then there's a guy in shorts, a t-shirt, and I think he had a baseball cap. Yep. It was Matt Damon. So I was like, "Oh, right." And so they're like explaining to me, they're like, "Oh, we're trying to make a new kind of a secret agent movie, but we're trying to find a new style." So it's like, okay. And then we're like, okay. And then, you know, I'm like, okay, so what are you guys thinking? And then me and the other guy, okay, do you want Hong Kong style? So me and my friend were doing like a Jackie Chan kind of rhythm stuff. Yeah. And they go, no, that's too Jackie. And then I'm like, okay. So I tried this other one, which is funny. And then the next thing I did was like a shoot wrestling, kickboxing thing, which is the archetype for how we fight for John Wick. So we're doing like John Wick-y kind of things back then.
Interesting.
So I'm doing that stuff. And they're like, whoa, that looks good. It looks very painful, but it looks like it takes too long, you know, all the lock flows.
Yeah.
It looks and I'm like, oh, okay. And I go, okay, how about this? And we start doing like the Kali stuff. See, that the thing that was good about the academy, I just had different things to
exactly to, what to, a to great kind of way to learn so many different styles. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So when I was doing that, I go, okay, how about this? So I started doing like trapping and Jeet Kune Do stuff. And then I started mixing with the Kali, the kind of the Panatugan stuff. And they're like, whoa, yeah, that's it right there. So I was like, okay. And then we go, we could kind of do this stuff. And then, you know, the thing with the pencil. Remember the pencil? Yeah. You see him with the pen, he grabs the pen. So I go, no, we could do this stuff with these destructions with a pen, like with a pen. So we started doing stuff with the pen. So it's basically this drill we're calling Who Butter Destructions with the pen. They go, no, that's it right there. So I remember after that thing ended, I got a call from the producer. He goes, hey, yeah, Matt wants to know if you could train him. So I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was just a job. I'd go train a guy. So, and then that's kind of how it started. It's like I would train him at his house or the place he was staying at a few times a week for like a month or two.
Wow.
And then,
Then
they flew me out. They flew me out for when he was doing the training for the apartment scene.
Yeah.
Right. So technically, I was just kind of like a technical advisor because I just started. I didn't know like, you know, anything about like fight choreography in terms of like how to push forward or anything like that. But I remember when I was there, the stunt coordinator at the time, like we're sitting there, and then I was just kind of sitting there watching all these guys training, and they're doing their version of the choreo. And then they kind of came up to me, and then I remember I was sitting there, and the director comes in. He goes, he's like watching the core. He goes, "Where's the stuff I saw in LA?" And then like that doesn't look like the stuff. And then they're all of a sudden they're like, "Oh yeah!" And then I have to like kind of show something. So that's kind of how that stuff kind of came to pass.
Yeah.
Well, and now I was young. I was kind of young. I was like, I just started. That was like my first year, so I didn't know what the protocol was in terms of being respectful or stepping out of line.
Yeah,
so I just kind of kept the etiquette. I was just very quiet, and you know, I just kind of I would just kind of take what they say, right? I just do what they told me to do.
Those Bourne films basically transformed the way that action was filmed for a while. You know, the influence of the action scenes in that movie, and you can probably draw a through line from that into certainly James Bond, but even into the John Wick style, can't you? That you know, grounded, realistic, gritty style of fight action, you know, it all sort of stems from there, doesn't it, Jojo?
No, it does. I mean, it's like when songwriters write a song, right? It's always about the stuff they're experiencing at that time in their lives, right?
Yeah.
When they're writing their music. So at the time for me, like when we're showing that stuff, it's just stuff that I was doing. We're training at that time.
Yeah.
So I didn't really think about, oh, this is like I'm developing a new style, like per se for film. Like I wasn't consciously going, oh, this is a new style. I'm just doing the stuff that I was trained to do.
Yeah.
But I try to, the rhythm for me, like when I'm demonstrating it, is the rhythm I saw when I was growing up in those movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that Hong Kong rhythm where it's more fluid and it keeps moving, that's the rhythm I was used to.
Yeah.
So when I was demonstrating that stuff, I'm not demonstrating it like a drill. I was demonstrating it as if I was doing it on camera.
Yeah.
Like if I was, so it's my movements and timing was always influenced by the stuff I grew up watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then, so when we did the John Wick stuff, there's a conscious effort to make a new thing there. Even before the John Wick, I did the Black Widow, right? I kind of formulated, made the style for Black Widow. And at that time, we're doing Aikido, a lot of Judo, and a lot of like kind of flying throws, like Lucha Libre type throws.
Yeah, she does a lot of the throws and the grappling and a lot of the sort of wrestling moves.
We're training that. We're training it, and then I kind of took that what we're training and I formulated it into her style.
Yeah.
all those things kind of evolved into the next whatever character we're doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I wouldn't say John Wick was even the next one. For me, it was like I did Bourne, then Black Widow, and then that kind of formulated in the stuff we're doing for
into
Wick, would say.
Just quickly on the Bourne films, Bourne Ultimatum, I've spoken to Joey Anser for this podcast. You did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that amazing fight scene in Ultimatum with Joey and, in the room there. And it's just a fantastic fight. And you got an award for that as well. It almost feels like that's really you developing that sort of house style. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I would always say this, like, because of Dan and Misanto, a lot of the stuff that I can't pass on. I didn't open a school or anything to pass on the Kali he taught us, right? The Filipino martial arts. So every time I do a movie, that's my way of passing on the Filipino martial arts.
Yeah.
So there's always some type of Filipino martial art element to it.
Yeah.
Right. So when you see that stuff, because I didn't grow up doing kung fu or like Chinese kung fu and stuff, so my forms are basically from the Filipino stuff.
You have a Filipino heritage, descent. Yeah,
So that's my way of doing it,
Yeah.
So,
are you still in touch with Dan?
I haven't trained there. I've been so busy. I feel bad. I should see him. He was a big influence in my life, but I haven't been there in a long time. Yeah. The school's moved a few times, but I mean, he's still active.
He is.
The guy's he's one of the last greatest kind of martial artists of our time.
I think
if any chance anyone could train with him, I would advise you should.
He has so much
knowledge.
Yeah,
you know, and then like just the way he explained things, it opened my head up a little bit, like being in terms of being open-minded and things like that.
Stop that.
You've worked with Marvel quite a bit. Avengers, Doctor Strange, Black Panther as well. Fantastic work on Black Panther.
Thank you.
So what's Marvel like to work with? I mean, it's a huge behemoth
thing,
isn't it?
The greatest, Disney's Marvel's probably one of the greatest, movie machines in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, all their stuff are hits. And they just have a really good machine there. Everything is top notch.
Yeah.
They know what they want. They know their characters so well. It's it's just a very top notch company to work for.
Yeah.
You know. I grew up watching reading comic books. So to work for a company that can make these things that I imagined when I was a kid and put them in live action, it's always a great thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a great company. It's like all their stuff is amazing.
They give you a lot of space, a lot of freedom, a lot of time to work on your the style that you want to go for. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, because the source material, they know how their characters are supposed to be. I've been fortunate when I was the stuff I worked on, they gave me a lot of leeway. Mm. Like I would shoot a lot of previs. I would develop a style, then shoot the previs. And a lot of times they would definitely keep the stuff I made.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it's like if you can keep at least 70% of it, then you won, right? So I'm happy with it. So every time I work for them, I've been so happy. It looks great.
Just on previs, you're very much a champion for previs. I know that was the thing that was developed on the first Matrix, just getting those previs done. And that sort of set the groundwork for 8711 because their previses were so sophisticated for the time. That's something that you would swear by, if you've got the time to allocate, definitely get the previs down.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think I'm a prep freak.
Yeah.
So anything that helps you kind of visualize what you're doing and you can show it to others.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be smart when you do your previs too. Like you can't tell an Oscar nominated, DP or an editor how to do this. Like, oh, this is how you should do this. It's just your way of showing them like what you're thinking in your head.
Yeah.
Because if I show you, we go watch something live, I demo something for you, something live, you're going to interpret it different than what I interpret. You're going to look at something different than what I look at.
Yeah.
But if I edit it and I shoot it and I presented you the way I want, how I see it, then you're going to see what I see, or you're going to see what I want you to see.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of do it that way.
Yeah.
But you see what the possibility is. Most film anyway, I say 100% film is collaborative. So most of the really good filmmakers all the time they're open to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it's just, I think, yes, would I do it? Yes, I would always do it, because I feel like that's our way of prepping. That's our preparation time.
Yeah, yeah. And just that segue nicely into John Wick, because that was the situation where you didn't, it wasn't as if you had to force some ideas or convince the director,
yes,
you know, this is a good way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got Chad and Dave, your mates there, actually leading the, mm-hmm, leading the charge. So,
yeah.
But am I right in thinking, so when you first sort of started creating ideas for John Wick, the previs you were doing was designed for Statham, is that right? It wasn't designed for Keanu.
Originally, like when all the Gun Fu stuff started coming out, we started making that style. And then that style was really, we originally were trying to make that style for Statham, because at the time, Chad and Dave were doing a lot of Statham movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we were making, that style was designed for Jason.
Yeah.
So not that, like, Jason is an amazing athlete. That guy is awesome.
Fantastic.
Too.
Fantastic.
Like, I would want to see him fight Keanu in a movie.
Yeah,
I think that'd be amazing. But
John Wick 5 maybe.
Yeah. But I think because they both would have made it look awesome.
Yeah.
But I think because Keanu has a different way of moving, like because of the Matrix stuff, he has a kind of a different type of fluidity.
Yeah.
It's more Chinese style. Yeah. It's like more soft style. So it looks good on him. Like it just looks good when he does, yeah, it. Even the way he shoots his guns, very fluid and where I think Jason is like stronger style. It's a harder style. So it's like almost like saying a Kyokushinkai guy versus like a Kung Fu guy.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Yeah.
But Jason is pretty awesome too. So it would have worked for him also, I think.
Yeah.
But I think, because it just fit Keanu really well when he did it.
Yeah. And when you're working with an actor, say it's a Hugh Jackman, it's a Scarlett Johansson, it's a Keanu Reeves, it's a Matt Damon, how much are you influenced just naturally by their own body movements as, mm-hmm, to, you know, well,
yeah,
yes, okay, because you might be trying to fit a round peg in a square hole there if you're, mm-hmm, trying to, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, get Keanu, yeah, to do stuff that just naturally isn't going to fit his, mm-hmm, his body type. So when you're training the actors, that's something that you're keeping an eye on?
Yes, I mean, yes, that's part of being a good choreographer. You, yeah, got to see, you have to see what your like cast can do, your actor, actress can, how they move, because it has to look natural. I mean, technically, let's say if they're playing a super agent spy, they got to look like someone that's been doing martial arts for like all their lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but for movie land, you might only get 8 weeks to shoot, to teach them something completely new.
Yeah.
So you have to see what they do, because they have other things in their head too. They don't just have the physical training they have to deal with. They have to come up with the emotional attachment to the character and character and things like that. So they have a lot of stuff going on upstairs.
Yeah. Right?
They have to deal with a lot of things, not just the physical part.
Yeah.
So you have to tailor that stuff to your cast.
Yeah.
For sure. You can't just rely on going, okay, my double's gonna do it. It's like, no, it's not the case. Like, I think 90% of film now, you see your actor doing it, your actor, actress doing stuff.
This is what I was going to say, but have you ever had a situation or any conflict in that sense where, you know, if the actor's not really giving a 100% in that situation, mm-hmm, I mean, then that puts you in a bit of a bind there,
okay,
doesn't
cool.
it, I guess? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I actually, personally for me, I haven't dealt with that really.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
everyone I've trained goes 110%.
Yeah.
So I think I've been fortunate. I haven't really experienced that.
Yeah.
I think everyone trained to their hardest, and I got what we need. I got what we need out of them.
Although your breath control's good, it can't beat my death kick.
Were you surprised at the success and how that film really took off? Because it sort of felt like a bit of a, because it was, people forget it was actually quite a low budget movie, wasn't it? The first John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think was the secret to that film's success? Because it sort of was a sleeper hit.
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think a lot of, first of all, it's timing, but I think Keanu, I don't think anyone ever stop liking Keanu. I think everyone loves Keanu.
Yeah.
So even though he wasn't as like the box office hits weren't as were at the time when we did it, like he wasn't having them like during his Matrix heyday. I think people generally still liked him and wanted him to do well. So to see him do it, like to come back that way, and I think that character was perfectly made for him too.
Yeah.
So one, the character was really cool. Two, he can make the. I knew the action would be good because we had full control of everything. So I knew, at least action-wise, that we would be satisfied. I think, too, we were always satisfied the way it looked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I think because we were satisfied with it, then I think the audience really enjoyed it. So we're always our hardest critics to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think because we liked it, you know, I think the world just caught up. They liked it too, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But would I say I was surprised? I don't think I was going, oh my God. I never thought it was like, oh, this is going to fail. I never thought that ever.
Yeah.
I always thought it was going to do well because I still think, to me, he was still a movie star. Like he's still the biggest star in the world to me at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And he trains, and it shows, man, doesn't he? Oh, he trains.
And he trains. We killed him. I don't even know how he survived.
Yeah.
All four movies, like, you know, like because three, John Wick 3, at first we thought that was gonna be the last one, so we threw all freaking everything at it, and I thought, oh my gosh, we're gonna kill Keanu Reeves on this one. But and then like right after that we went to Matrix, so you know, that's all, that's like totally different styles. Yeah. Like two, so you know, but it's amazing to see what that guy can do. That guy can do everything. Like, I mean, he trains super hard, he's a nice guy, he can drive a car, he can ride bikes, he can shoot a gun like nobody else, right?
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And I think, you know, that's all about, it's all, it's, I think, you know, at least a lot of that's attributed to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And is it easier for you, Jojo, to train an actor who probably doesn't have a martial arts background and then make them look like John Wick than it is actually... Because you must have had situations where you're working with actual martial artists as well, or, you know, people with a fighting career or a background, or UFC fighters or whatever. I mean, are they is that trickier almost because they're sort of, you know, they train and they're maybe set in their ways a little bit. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it is like that.
Yeah.
But I think because we're developing styles from the ground up, we don't usually have to break their habits. I mean, they're like, it's hard to train real fighters if they're training for a real fight to do movie fights.
Yeah, yeah.
In general, because they're taught the complete opposite. Like, they don't set things up. They do. I mean, they don't telegraph stuff. They're tight. They're fast. Like, you know, as for movies, you got to twist a lot. You got to telegraph your hits. You got to make your lines really long, and like, so it's just, so to train a real fighter to do movie stuff when they're training for a fight that's super difficult.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, regardless if they have a background or not, I think our luxury was a lot of us were martial art instructors first. So it's easy for me to break it down. Now, the progression is faster if they do have some type of martial art training, because I can look at that and kind of go off that.
Yeah.
Right. But
yeah.
So I wouldn't say one's harder than the other. It depends on the person. I think if the person's willing to just kind of like trust us and know with the process, then it's fine. So it's not really if they start from scratch or not, because I'm always confident we can teach them. I think that's our innate skill.
And as martial artists yourselves, when you're doing like a John Wick 3, you've got Mark Dacascos in there, you've got Chechev and Yayan, you know, these are martial artists as well. They're just so cool and just great and have amazing careers as well. You know, you must be thrilled, you know, to get to work with these guys as well.
Those guys, like, let's see, Mark. I grew up watching Mark.
Exactly.
That guy's such an angel. That guy's the coolest guy.
Yeah.
But you know, like, it's good to go like Chechep and Yayan because from the raid, because, you know, those guys are real martial art instructors. So me as a martial art instructor in general, like, I like to feel those guys out. Like, I like to train with them or move with them because, one, I learned some new stuff, and two, it's just like, I actually flow better with those kind of guys because it's like high level martial artists just have a way of flowing with each other.
Yeah,
they can kind of slow things down and kind of work with each other. So it's interesting to see, you know what I mean? And plus, the Filipino Kali stuff and the Indonesian Silat stuff, the movements are kind of similar.
Yeah, is there there's
an overlap there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're all Southeast Asian martial arts. Like, there's a Filipino version of Silat. There's like, you know, and then you got the Indonesian and you got the Burmese version of Silat. But they're all kind of in the same region. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is the movements are very similar, right?
Yeah,
the application might be a little bit different, but the movements are very similar.
Yeah. You didn't work on John Wick 4, though. Was that just a timing thing?
I was on Obi-Wan at
that
time.
Yeah, I thought so.
My thing was like, I did three John Wicks.
Yeah.
I finally get through it. It's, you know, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing because I just finished Matrix with Reeves and stuff, and I've worked with them for, you know, for how many movies already. But, you know, it's hard. It's like your dream job is right there. I was offering second unit to do. I just want to do, for me, I was like, I just want to do one Darth Vader fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
And then I got to do, I got a few. Three. So,
yeah,
I got a few. So, for me, it's a dream thing. So,
absolutely.
I feel very accomplished there.
Yeah.
I feel like fulfilled.
Were you shocked, I guess? Yeah, because you maybe thought that John Wick's had sort of wrapped up after the third one, but then they've gone ahead and made a fourth one. I mean, how on earth are you going to top, you know, the third one had, you know, dog fights in it, had horse fights in it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, gosh, how are they going to do
that? Chad always finds a way to kind of one-up himself.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I even told him, I was like, I don't know what else I can do.
Yeah.
I did everything I could on three, like, We worked hard on three.
Yeah,
like, I thought that's what
it shows.
I thought it shows. I thought we're gonna kill. I thought we're gonna Reeves was done for after that one. But like, you know, me and the team, we died. We almost killed ourselves on that one. So for me personally, creativity wise, I didn't know what else I could have brought. Like, I probably would have because Chad's really good about putting me in the right direction and go do this, and he sets it all up. So it's not just me. Chad sets it all up.
Yeah.
So I'm good at picking his, because I was a student for a long time. So I'm like, he'll throw 10,000 things at me, but I know which ones to grab and then kind of put it together.
Yeah.
But it was hard, even as a creativity wise. It's like, I don't know what else I could have done. You know, it needed a fresh thing. I did three of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But surely, because you've got Donnie Yen in the mix there, so that's going to bring...
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome, isn't it?
it's already going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only thing that's killing me too, because I was like, oh, Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
I get to work with Donnie Yen. But then, you know...
Have you worked with Donnie?
If I did that...
You have worked with Donnie.
I want to. That guy's like an idol of mine too. I used to watch him in high school.
Yeah.
And his old movies.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, for me, it's like, gosh, I really wanted to do Star Wars.
Long pole expert. Shaolin garbage.
Would you say are some of your favorite fight scenes? Not necessarily that you've been involved in, but are there fight scenes in action movies, in cinema in general, that you look to as being, that's a really great example of, you know, on-screen fight action?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many. Because, like, you know, it's like I said at the time, it's just like what you're training at the time, what you see at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I would say, like, you know, of course... I grew up watching Shaw Brothers and Golden Harvest stuff. But then I also grew up, like, I watched the first, like, I was watching, like, Bruce Lee movies. So I didn't even know that wasn't Bruce Lee.
Right? Yeah.
So I thought, when I was a kid, I thought that was Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Then I finally saw Enter Dragon, like, first time, the real Bruce Lee. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, this is different from, like, different, like, not even the same league.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, this guy's different.
Yeah.
So that had a huge influence for a long time. I was like watching Bruce Lee movies all the time.
Yeah.
And then I got like into like Jackie Samo, Yuen Biao stuff, like that kind of, like, it wasn't, it's like my first foray into kind of modern style movie fighting.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like Shaw Brothers where it's like you see the traditional kung fu and you can see the styles.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
This is like, it's just manic and everything's like stunt work.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
So that influenced me for a long time. And then I remember when I first saw Better Tomorrow, the first like John Woo's, like that first one, and I was like, whoa, this is like martial art with guns. But it, you know, it was a weird thing. And it's like, I was so influenced by that for a long time. So I think a lot of the, you know, the stuff that kind of like inspires you, you know, you get like really into it. Like when I first saw Flashpoint or SPL first.
Yeah. Right? Great.
That started giving me, when I watched Flashpoint and he does that long fight with Colin Chow at the end, like
amazing.
It's kind of like their first thing into like MMA type moves in that kind of choreography. You know, and then I was laughing because Chad would be like, man, it's this and this. He goes, I go, yeah, but they did it first. He did it first.
Yeah.
So that's why we were racing to do John Wick like that, because we wanted to be the first ones like that, right?
That classic Hong Kong action cinema, you know, it's still, you know, so influential.
Oh, it holds
still
up.
Holds up. It's still amazing.
It still holds up.
But the stuff, because I think of like, you know, the fight scenes in Atomic Blonde, say, that Sam's done, you know, a lot of those oneers, a lot of the stuff you see in John Wick, a lot of the stuff you're doing, it's taking it further, you know, and that is some of, you know, the some of the best action films, you know, are being made now. I would say, you know, to rival the Hong Kong stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think now we're catching up to the rhythm. That rhythm is the norm now.
Yes, yes.
So it wasn't before.
Yeah.
Early 2000, it wasn't. Even when, like, they had Charlie's Angels and stuff like that, and then, like, after Matrix, they had that kind of influx of Hollywood, but it didn't have that rhythm.
That's right.
And then Bourne, I remember I tried to make the rhythm, like, Hong Kong style, but with Kali. That was like my thinking. You have to look at the old stuff to make the new stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then same thing. And then you got to train all the time, because how do you make it different? Because now I feel like everyone, because of the information superhighway, YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff, like there's no secrets anymore. So what's the new thing? It's hard to find the new thing. Yeah. I mean, right now, I don't even know what the new thing is. Like for me, it's like, okay, so if it's not a new style, then it has to be character driven, right? But then again, you have to figure it, then it goes full circle again. Well, what's the new thing? Sometimes for me, the best stuff is like my best ideas come after, right after I train. I don't know if it's because my mind's clear, all that stuff is out, but it's there.
Yeah.
Right. And then, or maybe late at night, I can't sleep. I watch like martial art movie or something, and then something clicks.
Yeah.
So it's not the movie per se, but it opens up something.
So you're looking to get your a directorial project off the ground. That's really exciting.
Yes.
I'd imagine, you know, with a lot of you guys, when you're stepping into directing, people are going to expect a sort of, you know, a version of John Wick, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I was like, I get lots of scripts. I mean, I was getting a lot of scripts, and everything's like assassin. So unless it's like an amazing character where the assassin, like it's something that I feel like it's new or it's fresh, I don't want to kind of do the same generic thing. It's a hard thing, because that's a hard act to follow. It's a hard act to follow what Chad and Dave have done. So if I do something, it has to be something at least different in nature or, you know, something like that. So I'm very picky about, you know, what I'm trying to figure, like, you know, what I want to show, because part of that is my personality too. So it's not just like, I don't want to follow them doing the exact same thing, but I have to show, but we all come from the same action background. So somehow, the story I want to say has to be different from theirs, but still have the same action dynamic.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. You don't know how many scripts I get. It's like ex-assassin, this guy, it's like ex-military.
But every action film now is compared to John Wick in some way, or it's a version of John Wick that's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it goes like full circle. I mean, there's scripts after Bourne, everything's like, okay, put Bourne type fight scene right here. Yeah. And then now when I read scripts, it's like, oh, John Wick type fight scene right here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Atomic Blonde type fight scene here.
Yeah.
Or Girl Assassin or whatever. So I'm just kind of like, okay, so how do we, it's weird because you're almost responsible for making those movies popular, but then you're fighting against it too.
Yeah.
Right. The archetype of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, I idolized John Woo when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So when he finally got to the US, right? And it's like he's doing all these movies like Broken Arrow and Face Off. But you watch Face Off. Face Off's just an amalgam of The Killer and Hard Boiled.
Yeah.
It's like all his Hong Kong movies put in.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great movie, don't get me wrong. But it's an amalgam of his Hong Kong movies. Like, I've seen that before. He did that in Killer, he did that in Hard Boiled. It's the same images too.
Yeah.
So you know, and I get it, because at the time too, it's like hard for an Asian director to break into mainland, main Hollywood. But you know, it's the same thing. It's like, gosh, I mean, whatever I choose, it's a hard part, because I'm going to always be compared to Chad and Dave or John Wick and stuff like that.
But at least you've got Jojo, because you've got that experience with Marvel and doing a lot of fantasy and visual effects as well. I mean, gosh, you know, I would imagine out of a lot of the, you know, the troop there at 8711, you've probably got, I'd imagine, the most experience of working on those types of green screens and CGI and all that stuff. Is that fair to say?
I got lucky because I managed to work in a lot of different things. Yeah. I made sure I went around the different types of movies. Yeah. You know, I mean, I always say I would never be the best at it, but I know what to look for.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Just finally, did you get to keep a lightsaber?
Well, my stunt team bought me one.
Really?
You can't get the real ones, but they get, we went to a famous replica guy. The guys went to a famous replica guy.
Okay.
So they basically made me an Obi-Wan replica.
Oh, great.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's like really nice.
Awesome.
I can't even touch it. It's like a work of art, but yeah, there's no way you can get the real one.
Yeah.
They safeguard, unless you're Ewan McGregor or Hayden Christensen, you're not getting these
things. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's just crazy, like, how many people love Star Wars.
Absolutely.
It's a cool thing. I mean, they're so passionate about it. So
yeah.
I think for me to be part of that, like you said, I feel very fulfilled.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you did a tremendous, tremendous job on it. And, you know, as I say, I always look out for your name in movies. Birds of Prey as well is another one. I love that film. I thought you did fantastic work on that. So, yeah, again, just keep up the great work, really, Jojo, and all the best for your next projects and, you know, stepping into directing as well. That's going to be great. So good to chat.
Thank you. Yeah, good to chat.
You have a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much, Jerry. My pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, JJ. Okay. Cheers. Okay. Bye-bye. Jonathan Eusebio there. What a pleasure it was to chat with Jojo. Been a huge admirer of his work over the years, and he's someone who's continue to set new trends in on-screen fight choreography. So we eagerly anticipate his move into directing, whatever that project might be. Will be very exciting. A few notes just to follow up on based on that chat you just heard. So Violent Night, that's what Jojo described as Die Hard with Santa Claus. That's another 87 North production. It stars David Harbour as Santa Claus, and that will land on the 2nd of December 2022. The Pen Fight from The Bourne Identity, I'll be sure to add a link to that in the description of this show. Very much foreshadowing that pencil fight in John Wick 2. And I'll also add a link to the fight scene with Joey Anser from The Bourne Ultimatum. Never get tired of watching that one. Listen back to my chat with Joey Anser on episode 29 for a more in-depth discussion on that fight scene in particular. On Dan Inosanto, although I haven't actually spoken to Dan, I have spoken to his daughter, Diana Lee Inosanto. You can go back to episode 25 to listen to that conversation. Lots of chat in there about her father and his days training with Bruce Lee and then continuing that legacy after Lee's death. It's all very interesting stuff, so go and check that out. Also, I have had the great pleasure of chatting to quite a few members of the Elite 8711 stunt team for this podcast, or at least people who have worked very closely with Chad and Dave over the years. So that's people like JJ Perry, Daniel Bernhardt, Larnell Stovall, Heidi Moneymaker, and Brad Martin. All worth a listen. If you haven't heard those episodes already, go back into the archive to check out those shows. They're available now wherever you get podcasts. Normally, I would end on something like, for the latest Jonathan Eusebio news, head over to such and such a place, but I've checked online and it doesn't seem as if Jojo is actually on any social media accounts. At least I couldn't find any official channels, so maybe just best to stick to our social channels and we can keep you posted on the latest Jonathan Eusebio news that way. A huge thank you to Jonathan for taking the time to talk to me for this episode, and a huge thank you, of course, to you, the loyal Foo follower who has listened all the way to the very end. Thank you so much for doing that and for returning to the podcast after such a long break. The episode before this one was part 2 of our Christmas special back in 2021, so that really was quite a while ago now. So thank you for your patience. We are back now, and it is very good to be back. I should add here that during the time off, I did move the show over to a new hosting site. So this podcast is now being supported by Acast. It's maybe a bit lame to say thank you to a podcast company for all their help, but I will just say that they did make the move very easy, and their support team was very helpful as well. So a big thank you to Acast. They offer a great service for podcasters, lots of options available on there. So watch this space. There may be more developments in that field over the coming weeks and months in relation to this show in particular. So I will keep you all posted on that. In the meantime, thank you all so much for listening. Do keep it locked to all the usual KFMG pod channels. I will be back with a brand new episode of the show in 2 weeks time. Until then, please do be safe, take care, and bye for now.